from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, November 13th. I'm Abby Larico. There are hundreds of places to bank in the St. Louis region, but not every community has equal access or comfort. A lot of work can go into opening a new location.
I don't want anyone to feel threatened by having a banking relationship.
St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmidt examines what it takes to sustainably expand banking access. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A bill to spend around $232 million from the city's RAM settlement is moving forward after members of the Board of Aldermen filed the legislation Tuesday. The bill dedicates the money to infrastructure projects, building rehabilitation, housing improvement, and commercial corridors in downtown and long disinvested neighborhoods in North and South St. Louis. It's just one of the ways the city has considered using the RAM's money and would account for a majority of the $280 million St. Louis received from the settlement. Ward 11 Alderwoman Laura Keyes is one of the bill's co-sponsors. She says many members of her North City ward continue to do their work to build a stronger community, but are ready for more action.
They've done their part in planning sessions, and they've given their feedback on neighborhood plans. By the way, they told me to tell you that they're sick of surveys and they're ready to see some work.
The bill will be introduced at Friday's Board of Aldermen meeting. Rapper Nelly will not face charges following his arrest this summer in Maryland Heights. The St. Louisan, whose real name is Cornell Hayes, was arrested at Hollywood Casino the morning of August 7th. At the time, a Maryland Heights Police Department spokesperson said he was taken into custody for failing to appear on a traffic charge. He was also found to be in possession of a controlled substance. The St. Louis County Prosecutor's Office released a brief statement Tuesday night with its decision that the facts in the case do not warrant charges. A Missouri appeals court panel ruled Tuesday that counties can't tax marijuana products if a municipality is already collecting sales taxes. St. Louis Public Radio's Aula Kaziz reports.
The Court of Appeals decision reversed a previous ruling that allowed counties and municipalities to each collect a 3% tax on marijuana sales. The unanimous ruling now says counties can no longer stack cannabis sales taxes. Missouri voters approved a constitutional amendment legalizing recreational marijuana in 2022 and allowing a 6% state tax. Local governments and dispensaries have since debated in court over how marijuana should be taxed on a local level. The Missouri Cannabis Trade Association estimates that without a stacked county tax, customers in Missouri will save roughly $3 million each month. I'm Arla Kuziz, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman said the county plans to appeal the decision, and he expects St. Louis County to follow suit. Gas bills are about to go down for Spire customers. Missouri's Public Service Commission approved a rate decrease Tuesday that will take effect on November 15th. A Spire spokesperson said the average customer in eastern Missouri would save almost $16 on their gas bill. In western Missouri, the average monthly bill will be nearly $19 lower. Spire is making the change because of lower gas prices and recovered deferred costs from a 2021 winter storm. Travis Brown was cheered on and escorted by hundreds of well-wishers Tuesday on his way from a St. Louis hospital to an Atlanta rehab facility. The Ferguson police officer was critically injured during an August protest on the 10th anniversary of the death of Michael Brown Jr. He has been in the hospital since then. Ray Hussman is a detective with the Arnold Police Department. He was one of the many law enforcement personnel from other agencies that were along Brown's route from the hospital to the airport.
This is, you know, out of the good of their heart to show solidarity with Officer Brown and the Ferguson Police Department, to show that we're all brothers in blue. No matter where we come from, we're all here for each other.
Several first responder organizations and local businesses have also helped organize fundraisers to help Brown's family with medical costs. Missouri U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt says he's taken his name out of consideration to be the Attorney General of the United States. In a post on X, formerly Twitter, Schmidt confirmed he isn't interested in being the Attorney General for President-elect Donald Trump's second administration. Schmidt, who is still in his first term as a U.S. senator, said, quote, "I ran for the U.S. Senate to represent the people of the Show Me State, and I'm just getting started." Schmidt was first elected to the U.S. Senate in 2022 after then-Senator Roy Blunt announced his retirement. Prior to his election, Schmidt was Missouri's Attorney General. Illinois' Attorney General is launching a statewide conviction integrity unit to investigate claims of innocence and remedy wrongful convictions. Those submitting claims of innocence must be currently serving time for the sentence they are seeking to reverse. The conviction must have been for a forcible felony, and there must also be new, credible evidence to support their claim. If found innocent, Attorney General Kwame Raoul says he will work with local state's attorneys to determine the steps for seeking relief.
Wrongful convictions destroy lives. Wrongful convictions diminish faith in our criminal justice system. They put victims and public safety at risk by allowing the true perpetrators to escape unpunished.
The unit has already started accepting petitions. Some Illinois lawmakers are considering how to further protect reproductive and LGBTQ rights they feel are threatened by a second Trump presidency. Alex Degman reports.
State Representative Kelly Cassidy says state lawmakers could update Illinois' SHIELD laws. The Chicago Democrat says they want to prevent other states from using geolocation services to track people who are coming to Illinois for care.
They're not able to track people who are accessing facilities who provide gender-affirming or reproductive health care. That's something that's being negotiated for 2 years, and I think we're very close to a final product.
But Cassidy says there's not much they can do if the federal government enacts national bans because federal law supersedes state law. She expects some momentum this week, but lawmakers might wait until the January lame duck session to pass anything when they don't need as many votes. I'm Alex Degman.
There have been a lot more eyes on women's professional basketball in recent years, and in St. Louis, a new effort to bring a team here is getting a lot of attention, too. NBA star and St. Louis native Jason Tatum and a group of local billionaire investors want St. Louis to have the 16th WNBA team. Noah Cohan, assistant director of American Culture Studies at Washington University, says these sorts of bids typically play out behind the scenes. This time, the public is getting a front row seat.
For the city and for the backers locally who want to own a team to be able to put it out in public that they're trying, I think is a good thing for St. Louis, regardless of the final outcome.
Cohan made his comments on St. Louis on the air. Kansas City, Denver, and Miami are some of the other potential cities vying for a chance to secure a team. The St. Louis region has hundreds of banking locations, but less than 10% of them are in North St. Louis or North St. Louis County. Changing that is more complicated than just opening up more bank branches. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports on the progress of one regional bank trying to make it work in Delwood.
On a sunny September morning last year, hundreds of people gathered outside a strip mall that had been vacant for years. They were eager for the R&R Marketplace to open, with services designed to boost economic access, like a new Midwest Bank Center location. Chairman and CEO Orvin Kimbrough noted the dozens of nearby payday lending facilities that day, and had a clear goal for the new branch.
Mayor, we want to put them out of business.
More than a year since that declaration, Kimbrough admits the payday lenders haven't been easy to disrupt.
It's very difficult for traditional financial institutions like banks to compete in that space and be profitable.
Kimbrough says his bank tried out a product to compete with payday loans, which are predatory, but had to scrap it because too many people didn't pay the money back. He says Midwest Bank Center is reworking the product.
This is a lab, and we look at it as a lab.
A lab to experiment with new ways to connect and invest in St. Louis communities that haven't always had positive relationships with banks. Ashley O'Neill is Midwest Bank Center's Senior Vice President of Retail Banking.
I don't want anyone to feel threatened by having a banking relationship.
In practice, this sounds like normal banking interactions, like with Montrese Gardner, who came into the Delwood branch needing help with a deposit to avoid a costly overdraft fee. Gardner says a loan charge posted to her account a few days earlier than usual.
They've never done it before, and I've been paying them over a year.
I would say have a conversation with that company to find out why did they do the debit on the 13th instead of the next business day.
Gardner says she will and heads with O'Neill to make the deposit at what the bank calls an ITM. It's basically an ATM, but with a Midwest Bank Center employee who pops up on the screen to help.
Oh, it's Emily.
This is Emily. How may I help you?
Hey, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I have Ms. Gardner here. She is making a deposit into her check.
As they finish up, Gardner double checks she'll stay in the positive. O'Neill assures her she will and hands her a business card in case she has any lingering questions.
We're passionate about doing what's right for the customer, and the education piece is what's the biggest thing for us. The deposits, they come, you know, the lending opportunities, they also present themselves.
That was true for Kathy and Jerome Jenkins, who own and run Kathy's Kitchen in Ferguson. They expanded this year with Kathy's Kitchen to Go in Delwood to handle delivery orders that were overloading the original location.
This was an opportunity because Midwest Bank was looking for someone to help. Now, it's just nice to be one of the first people to knock on the door, you know, to go, hey, it's me. I'm the person that needs help.
The Jenkins spent months negotiating before securing a $100,000 loan to help cover the build-out cost. It was a new experience for them.
We didn't get a loan at all for the original Kathy's Kitchen. We used our own cash and we built it dollar by dollar. And a lot of blessings and miracles along the way.
Andre Perry with the Brookings Institution says this is unfortunately common for many Black-owned ventures.
Banks reflect the wealth profiles of the community, but they also facilitate development at the same time.
Midwest Bank Center's Kimbrough agrees and says the decision to open in Delwood is just good business.
I'm not on this because it's a social crusade. Like, no, this is not charity. This is an investment. In fact, for any bank to be sustainable in any community, it has to be profitable. And you can't be apologetic about that.
Kimbrough says that hasn't quite happened in Delwood yet, but expects it will in another few years. He says there is money to be made while helping the community re-engage with financial institutions moving forward. In Delwood, I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.